Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
All right. Well, how are you guys enjoying this study, Real Wisdom? It's good stuff, huh? Don't you think we all need more wisdom? I sure do. You know, every man needs more of it, every man in this room. And what we need to be careful of is what the world says is wisdom out there, don't we? You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians, look out lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Boy, and there's a lot of opinions out there, and there's a lot of pseudo-wisdom out there, and many of us have felt the effects of that in our lives at one point or another, going towards the wisdom of the world. But, you know, we have the wisdom of God in front of us right now, and God wants to teach us His wisdom and impart to us His wisdom. Isn't that awesome to think about? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, and we want to commit this time to You that You would speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, You already have, as we've done the study this week, and there's so much there for us, and we just pray that this study tonight, as we open up Your Word right now, will just be cohesive and segue nicely with the study and the group time. And we ask for Your anointing. We ask for Your Holy Spirit to teach each every one of us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you go into a Barnes & Noble and you look around, boy, they've got a lot of topics and subjects, don't they? And I don't know about you, but I'm like a kid in a candy store when I go into Barnes & Noble or the defunct Borders, you know. But you walk in and you just see all these books, and it's just like, man, it's kind of like, wow, man, I just want to go look at them, you know. I want to check them all out, and it's kind of exciting. And I know a lot of people just go there for the coffee or the magazine rack. But it's kind of cool to go in there and look through the different books and the different subjects. And, you know, they've got the different, you know, poetry section, which I don't go to too often. But they have subjects such as thrillers and westerns. And I don't know about you, but I like going into that one section that has all the big books that have the, you know, the pictures of the cars and all the nostalgia and the Harley Davidsons and the rock and roll. And you're going, those aren't even books, Mike. Well, I like going to the other sections too and checking all that out. But I like that stuff. I like going into the bookstore and reading, just even buying books and reading what the world has to say about culture and wisdom and things like that. What is the world thinking? What are people reading? What are people gobbling up? And, you know, most of the stuff that's in there isn't all that great. It may be nice, you know, fodder, but the truth of the matter is we have the Book of Wisdom right here in our laps right now. And it's exciting to think that God wants to reveal to us His wisdom. I have a book at home called Abounding Grace, and it's an anthology of wisdom by this guy named Scott Peck. And he has all these quotes on wisdom, and he has these topics. They're broken into, let me just share some of the topics: happiness, courage, compassion, purity, courtesy, faith, goodness, and just all these virtues. And a lot of them, of course, are virtues of our own faith, aren't they? And in the last section, the virtue that he addresses is wisdom. And he says this, that wisdom stands alone, saying that all these other virtues in some sense are components of wisdom. Wisdom belongs in a class of its own. And in a sense, I think that's true. And as I was reading some of the quotes on wisdom, do you want to hear them? Okay. All right. These are guys you know. So I'm gonna share some quotes on wisdom. This is from Abraham Lincoln. He says, I don't think much of a man who is not wiser today than he was yesterday. Okay. William Wordsworth said, wisdom is oftentimes nearer when we stoop than when we soar. Wisdom is divided into two parts, having a great deal to say and not saying it. That's a pretty good quote. C.H. Spurgeon, who we all love, says, "The doorstep to the temple of wisdom is a knowledge of our own ignorance." Yes. An Armenian proverb says this, "If there were more wisdom in beards, all goats would be prophets." All right. Another one by Abe Lincoln. "When you have an elephant by the hind legs and he is trying to run away, it's best to let him run." Okay, Abe, like it. "Many persons might have attained wisdom had not assumed," well, let me say this again. "Many persons might have attained wisdom had they not assumed they already possessed it." Getting close here. And then the great wise man Muhammad Ali said this, "The man who views the world at 50 the same as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life." Not bad, Muhammad Ali. And then Theodore Roosevelt said this, "9/10 of wisdom consists of being wise on time." I like that too. Some very good stuff, even some biblical foundations in some of those quotes. But I like what J.I. Packer has to say. He says, "If you lack wisdom, go to school. If you lack knowledge, go to school. If you lack wisdom, get on your knees." Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the proper use of knowledge. That's very good. You know, there's not a man in here that doesn't need more wisdom. Amen? All right. Does anybody not need more wisdom? You're tapped out? Oh, man, we're speaking to the right crowd here. You know, whether you're a father or a grandfather or a son, and most of us are sons, right? And some of you are all three, your grandfathers, your fathers, and your sons. Man, we all need more wisdom, don't we? And the Hebrew word for wisdom, chokmah, means acute judgment, sharp judgment. Man, we all need more of that, every single one of us. The Greek word is Sophia. I guess that's what Sophia is. Someone named Sophia means wise. But we learned last week in Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But listen, that's just the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is to fear the Lord. But like those ultimate rock ballads that you see on the infomercial, there's more. There's more. It's interesting. Man, those commercials. You can buy the ultimate rock ballad, 17 CD superset, but then when you think you have it all, there's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame set, and then there's the Summer of Love collection, and then there's the Sounds of the 70s, but that's not it, not just the Sound of the 70s. Then you have to pick up the Singer-Songwriter collection. That's with like Jim Croce and John Denver and those guys. But then there's the easy 80s and, of course, the classic rock. And by the time you're broke, you have them all. But listen, with wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but it's just the beginning. There's so much more. You know, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Paul told the believers in Corinth, he said, "But of him," Jesus, speaking of Jesus, "we are in Christ, who became for us wisdom from God." Jesus Christ is the personification of wisdom. And then in Colossians 2:3, it says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ. So when we're reading about wisdom, and Solomon is addressing this topic of wisdom to us, he's really pointing to Christ. And we're going to learn from Solomon, but true wisdom comes from Jesus Christ. And we can all be wiser sons and wiser fathers and, yes, even wiser grandfathers, right? And I know this study was really great this week, and I just, man, if you're a father, man, you should frame that study someplace and hang it on a wall, because it was so rich in the instruction to fathers. And if you're a grandfather, frame it and give it to your son and tell him, hang this on your wall. It's just, there's so much rich truth in the studies that you went over this week. And if you're a son, well, frame it and hang it on your wall, because it talks so much about the wisdom of God and the wisdom that we all need that we should not forget. And we're so easy to forget things. But let's go ahead and start reading what it says here in Proverbs 4. That's where we're going to be, in Proverbs 4. Solomon says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give good doctrine. Do not forsake my law." Man, you just have to love the tone here, "my children." The instruction of a father. Now, we know from Scripture that even though Solomon had how many wives? 700. And how many concubines? Over 300. Yet the Bible only records for us one son, Rehoboam, found in Matthew 1:7, and two daughters. But Solomon here is speaking to the children of Israel, and he's addressing them as children, really with compassion, with adoration. And he begins to speak to them and pour into them as he would his own son. "Here, I'm going to teach you guys." And then it seems like Solomon begins to remember and look back at what his own father, David, King David, taught him. And I think this is really great here. And he says in verse 3, "When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother." Now, we of course know that Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. But he says, "He taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you.'" And what we get from this passage here is that we're not to rest on what we know today. We're not just to rest on what we know today, but we're to pursue wisdom. It's something that we need to actively pursue, because none of us have enough of it. And to think that we have enough of it proves that we're foolish. So Solomon exhorts the children of Israel to pursue wisdom, to get it. Don't forget it. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. And when we do, it will preserve us and keep us. And I love that term, how wisdom will keep us. It kind of reminded me when Tiffany, my oldest daughter, was born. And she's actually going to be married in less than like 30 days. So she's getting married. My oldest is getting married. But I remember, and like a lot of you dads out there, remember when your first one was born. And I'm in the room there, you know, and Diane, my wife, was going to have a cesarean because Tiffany was breech. That means feet first. She's always been a little tentative, you know. But she's going to be breech. So they put Diane out completely. And so Tiffany is born. And of course, she comes out. And I'm shocked because we didn't find out whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. So I thought all along, this is going to be my son, of course. And when my son wasn't my son, but my son was my daughter, a lot of stuff was rolling around in my head. Like, man, I don't know how to be a dad to a daughter. I mean, I was into all the guy stuff. And all this stuff's going on in my head. But you know what was going on in my head? This is my daughter. And as I cut that umbilical cord, I was thinking, I just kept thinking, man, she is going home with me. I'm going to keep this girl. I'm not leaving her at the hospital. She's going home with me. I'm going to keep her. I'm going to keep her close. I'm going to keep her safe. Isn't that what dads think, man? I'm going to protect this kid, right? You are the protector. I'm going to keep her close where I can teach her, where I can pour into her, where I can protect her. I'm going to keep her. And that's been my objective for my girls since they were born, to keep them close, to keep them in the way of the Lord, to teach them, to instruct them. And that's what Solomon is saying here. He's saying that when we stay close and pursue wisdom, that it will keep us. It'll keep us where we need to be, close to Jesus. And we need to be kept there, don't we? Oh, how many of us have wandered and strayed from the commands of the Lord, have strayed from His guidelines, has strayed from the things that He's wanted us to do, have strayed from wisdom. Solomon says, man, wisdom will keep you. And we need to stay close to the Lord. It reminds me of the Lord speaking to Moses when He told Aaron to bless the children of Israel. And this is what He told him in Numbers 6:24. He said, Moses, tell Aaron to address the people. He said, tell him this, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. That was God's command to Moses, to tell Aaron, to tell the children of Israel that God was going to keep them and bless them. And that's what wisdom does. When we pursue wisdom, it puts us in a place of being kept close to the Lord and also in that place of blessing. Isn't that where you want to be? Don't you want to be in a place of blessing where God can bless you? Where God can bless the things that we do? Because sometimes we get out of the realm of God's blessing. Oh, we start a business with someone who's not a believer. 3 years later, we're like pulling out our hair. Why did I do this? You get into a relationship, guys, with a girl who's not a believer, and it's just chaos. Because we get away from the wisdom of God and what God has to say. And Solomon is not only warning but exhorting the people. And he goes on in verse 7 and he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in your get understanding. And it's no secret, like we've talked about, that Christ is the source of our wisdom. And we must go to Him. We must go to Him for wisdom. He is the revelation of wisdom. You know, in 1 John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Greek word for Word is logos. And that word was understood in the culture to mean wisdom. That's what it was meant to understand. And so John is writing here, and he's saying, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the wisdom. In the beginning was the wisdom, and the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God. And the wisdom became flesh and dwelt among us. Isn't that cool to see? Jesus is wisdom. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We're going to find wisdom in God's Word. That's His revelation. Now let's check this out. Verse 8, exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. And I see four things right here that wisdom will give to us as believers, give to us as followers. Let's check this out. Exalt her, exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place a head, an ornament of grace on you, and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Man, those are lofty things, aren't they? I mean, those are things that it's like, should I be pursuing that stuff? No. But you should be pursuing wisdom. We should be pursuing Christ. And because of that, a byproduct of that is these things, are these things. We will be promoted. We will have honor. We will have grace and even glory. Even glory. Sometimes we get it so backwards and we start seeking our own promotion or our own glory, our own exaltation. And really the way up is down, isn't it? The way up is down. Solomon was wise because remember when God asked him, I'll give you anything you want. And Solomon, what did he ask for? For money, right? Oh, I mean, he asked for power. No, he asked for wisdom, didn't he? Wisdom to rule your people. And it was really a sign of humility, wasn't it? Because he knew he didn't have what it took to lead the children of Israel, to rule God's people. And it's a great example for us in that we don't have what it takes either to do what God requires of us apart from God's wisdom. Man, I don't know how to be a father to a daughter. I don't know how to run a business apart from the precepts of God's word. I don't know how to do ministry without going to God's word for wisdom. I don't know how to be a godly husband apart from God's word. And neither do you. And when we think we can do it apart from God's word and apart from God's wisdom, well, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Pride is always the enemy of wisdom. In fact, in James 4, 6, it says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. You know, James was quoting a proverb in Proverb 3:34. He said, surely God scorns the scornful but gives grace to the humble. See, in 1 Peter 5, 6, it says, therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. So as we humble ourselves, even like Solomon humbled himself to ask God for wisdom, as we humble ourselves, God is the one who lifts us up to that place that we need, that he desires us to be. God will lift us up to be that good father, that good husband, that good worker, that good employer. But we need his wisdom. So often we think we have it figured out. We have our aspirations, our desires, but God says you need to go down if you want to go up. J.I. Packer said this, not until we have become humble and teachable, standing in awe of God's holiness and sovereignty, acknowledging our littleness, distrusting our own thoughts, and willing to have our minds turned upside down, can divine wisdom become ours. Wow. It's true. Pride is the enemy of wisdom. But what are some of the other enemies of wisdom? You tell me. What are some of the enemies of wisdom? Laziness. Pride. Let's deal with laziness. Laziness is the enemy of wisdom. Am I lazy? Are you lazy? Oh, what did Solomon say in Proverbs 2, the people, he said, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. These ants, they have no captain, no overseer or ruler. yet they provide supplies in the summer and gather her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep? So shall your poverty come upon you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Consider the ant. Man, the ant, consider it. You ever see an ant just doing nothing? No, they're always getting into your cupboard or crawling around in places like how did it even get there? Where is it coming from? The line of them. And it's hard to get rid of them too. Feisty little things. But Solomon says, consider the ant. And you know what? Laziness is an enemy of wisdom. And we can be lazy in a lot of ways. I'm not talking about just sitting on the couch. Because sometimes we're just stinking tired after working so hard, huh? And it's like, man, I just need to find the easy chair. How many of you guys have an easy chair? Oh, you guys don't want to admit it either. I've got an easy chair. I don't get a sin in it that much, but man, I'll tell you, it's a nice chair. And you can't do any Bible reading in it because it's like Bible, easy chair, 2 minutes later, the only thing you're reading is the back of your eyelids, right? You don't read a Bible in an easy chair. But look at, we can be lazy as dads and we can be lazy as grandparents. We can be lazy. And it's an enemy of wisdom. You know, Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. This can be hard because sometimes as dads, as fathers, we don't want to be the hammer, huh? It's like, man, I just want to have this great relationship with my son or my daughter. I don't want them to think that I'm always, you know, hounding them and things like that. And yeah, we do need wisdom, but yes, we do need to discipline our kids. I always had the just the conviction that I was going to be the disciplinarian in our house. And it's not because I wanted to be the disciplinarian. I could have been, you know, like, I'm going surfing. You deal with it, honey. But I never wanted my daughter's relationship with their mother to be encumbered by her having to always be the final say. And I always believed in my heart that I should be the final say, and that would protect that relationship when they got into their teen years where they could talk to mom. Mom wasn't always like, you know, always discipline. That I, as the dad, was going to be the disciplinarian. And my kids were pretty good, but I was the disciplinarian. And I remember my daughter again, Tiffany, who's getting married in 30 days. I keep saying that because it's in my mind, guys. I remember when she recommitted her life to the Lord as a high school senior, her coming to me in tears, apologizing for being a bad kid, and she wasn't even a bad kid. But because I was having to discipline her, there was friction. Yes, there was friction. But I was guiding her and directing her. And I just was so blessed by the fact that God's word is legit. And she's been walking with the Lord for a long time. But we as dads can be lazy. I don't want to deal with it. Let them go. Oh, the chickens will come home to roost. And you can't discipline a 25-year-old like you can a 15-year-old. And boy, our 15-year-olds, they need it often, don't they? Proverbs 19 says, chasten your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction. To not discipline is to set their heart on destruction. It's like just cutting them loose to the world and saying, you know what, reap it. And they will. So you young fathers out there, stay close to your sons and daughters. And don't be lazy. Be wise. Be wise in the Lord. And when you need to discipline them, do discipline them. You know, I had the privilege of being raised by a godly father, and he took this to heart. He took discipline to heart. You know, not in an extreme way, but there were standards in our home. You know, it was like, you respect your mother. Don't talk smack to your mother. Don't you raise your voice at your mother. Don't disrespect her. You do your chores or you do nothing. Privileges and responsibilities went hand in hand. And we went to church on Sunday. And it didn't matter what was going on. We went to church on Sunday. And we went to church on Sunday night too. And as a teenager, I didn't really like that much. But we still went to church on Sunday night. And I'm so glad we did. And I'm so glad my mom and dad, my dad especially, said, you're going to church. Because it's the most important day of the week for you to be sitting in church, hearing God's word. But you know what else? He went too. He didn't drop me off. He went. He taught Sunday school. I remember him studying the Bible. What a great witness that is for our kids. And listen, for you grandparents out there, for your grandkids to see you reading God's word, to see your Bible by your bed, to see, you know, things where you're saturating your life with God's word, and you're at church, and you're taking them to church when you can. Man, I've seen so many dads teach their kids poorly, especially when they get into sports like soccer and baseball, and it's all of a sudden these sports become more important than going to church. It's like, what, are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, well, this is important for them. Yeah, none of them are professional soccer players now, but I'll tell you what, all of them, and I'm not kidding, all of them are backslidden Christians, these kids are. And you know what now? Most of the parents are too. Because they've decided, you know what, I want to please my kids. I want to let them excel in baseball or soccer or whatever it is. At the sake of their relationship with Jesus, at the sake of being an example and saying, look, this is important in my home. This is important in my house. And look, at for those of you who are grandparents, you know, you can't dictate that in your kids' or your grandkids' life. But man, when they're at your house, you sure can. Hey, come spend the night on Saturday night. Let's go Thursday night. Come on over. I'll buy you dinner on Thursday. And we'll go to church. Show them by example. You know, what's interesting too is I was talking to my dad today and he said that his dad did the same thing to him. They went to church. He was saying, you know what, I wanted to go to the drag races. My dad said, we're going to church. And he said, I'm glad he said that. My friends were like, come on, Jimmy, let's go to the drag races. I got to go to church. Awesome. But we set the example for our kids and for our families, and we can for even our grandkids too. Guys, listen to what Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 10 says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk in the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorpost and on the house of your gates. I love this passage because basically God is saying the word of God should be everywhere. Everywhere. It's not just on Sunday. It's every day of the week when you're rising up, when you're sitting down, when you're eating, when you're driving to McDonald's or wherever you're going. The word of God is present. You know, we had a hard time in my family with the sit-down family devotions. I don't know what it was. It seemed like the girls would always end up laughing and I'd get frustrated. It's like, come on, this is God's word. What are you laughing for? But it's probably because my devotion was so lame. But what I found, and we did have our devotion time at, you know, at dinner or, you know, whenever, you know, it was usually not like regimented, strict times, but we talked about God and God's word all the time. And I love the fact that it says, when you rise up, when you sit down, when you pass by the way. Man, there's so many great examples for us as fathers, grandfathers, to teach and minister God's word during the course of life, during the course of a vacation, or an example, pulling out things and saying, you know, this is what God did here. This is how God is working in this situation. Even warning, seeing things and being able to shed light from God's word. This is why this is that way. Because this person has forsaken God's commands or they don't know Christ. So there's so many great learning opportunities that we need to grab onto because you know what? Man, they go so fast. They go so fast. I just want to encourage you, young fathers, man, make the most of the time you have right now to pour into your kids, teaching them God's word. And you older fathers, keep it up. You grandparents, man, teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them God's word. Another thing my folks still do, this is a family study, right? So another thing my folks still do is on every holiday, they break open the Bible and they do a devotion. Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter. They're reading God's word and sharing a little something. It doesn't have to be much. Are you guys taking the opportunity to do that at Thanksgiving? You should. It doesn't have to be long. You can read a short passage and then just share something on it, something the Lord has shown you. Christmas time, Easter, Labor Day, Memorial Day. No, I'm just kidding. Whenever you can, seize the moment. They'll appreciate it. They'll be blessed by it. What are some of the other enemies of wisdom? You said laziness. We said pride. What else? Dishonesty.
Contentious women.
I knew I was going out on a limb with this. How about temptation? Temptation can be the enemy of wisdom. Think about this. Think about what Satan said to Eve in the garden. Let me read this. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And then she gave to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Temptation can be disguised as a pseudo-wisdom. Oh, this is the smart thing to do. And even like Eve, she was deceived. And guys, we can be deceived too. And there's a lot of things out there that say, this is good. This is okay. You're going to get through this. This will make it better. Oh, something's not right at home. So have a friendship with another woman. Oh, she'll understand. She's much more compassionate than your wife. That's baloney. That's a lie. And the enemy will tempt you in that way. And boy, your marriage will unravel. The answer is to go to God's word. What does God's word say? That's where Eve got off. That's where Adam and Eve got off. They got off of God's word. And there was only one thing. Don't eat of that tree. And there are so many things that God tells us not to do, yet we think that we can get away with it. Oh, I'll get away with it. Or, oh, it won't affect me in that way. Or, oh, my need is so great, God will understand. No, God doesn't understand anything like that. He understands that you're being stupid and foolish. And he also understands that chastening will come. Chastening will come. Why? Because he loves us. And why? Because he wants to keep us where? Close. Close to him. You know, Hebrews says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten?" And even as we as fathers are exhorted to discipline our children, God exhorts us that if we're disobedient, that he will chasten us and discipline us in love to bring us to that place that he wants us to be, close to him. Let me finish reading that Hebrews passage. Verse 9, "Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live?" Listen. "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as it seemed best to them, but for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Why? Why are we chastened when we neglect the wisdom that God has laid out for us? Because he wants us to be partakers of his holiness. He wants us to be close to him in holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. See, God will use discipline in our own lives to train us to holiness. To train us to holiness. The training's never done. Because we all need to grow in holiness, don't we? And we all need to grow in wisdom. And I thought maybe an appropriate thing to do right now was just to stand up and ask God together for more wisdom. Because in the book of James, James exhorts the believers, says, "If you lack wisdom, let any man ask of God, and he will give liberally to those who ask." But he also says to ask in faith, for that man who asks not, who doesn't believe, is going to be like the man who's tossed and turned, right? But we need to ask in faith, believing. We all need wisdom for something. We all need wisdom as men, as fathers, as grandfathers, as workers, as servants of the Lord, as witnesses for Christ. So let's just ask of God to give us wisdom, to give us Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and Lord, we acknowledge that we're lacking, Lord. Some of us are lacking desperately right now, and we need your wisdom. Lord, we need for you to impart to us your knowledge, and Lord, we need to apply that in our lives. It may be with our money. It may be with our parenting. It may be in our business practices. It may be in our relationship with our wives. Oh, Lord, we need your wisdom. So, Jesus, we just pray that you would just minister to us and speak to us through your word, Lord. Lord, we know that if we ask in faith, that you will give us more wisdom, and that's what we need. So, Father, we ask right now in faith. And we look forward to you working in our lives. We look forward to having more of Jesus daily. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.